Today's news. Hello, welcome to Old News, the programme and podcast which looks at news stories of the day through the papers of yesterday. Well, the horse tram's never far from the headlines at any time of the year or any year, so it seems, and back in again recently, because were they going to be debated in May? Well, maybe not now. Will something happen before the end of the administration? Well, we'll wait and see. Let's leave it there. However, nothing new about the future of the horse trams causing some debate, shall we say. I take you back to the Mona's Herald, Tuesday, January the 28th, 1947. The fate of the horse trams, we read, to be decided tomorrow's special meeting of Town Council. The future of the horse trams is to be discussed by the Douglas Town Council at a special meeting tomorrow. The whole question of the Corporation Transport Department services on the Douglas Promenade has recently received the consideration of the Tramways Committee. There's always a committee. And tomorrow's meeting is to give the full council the opportunity of discussing in public the future policy to be adopted in connection with the operation of the promenade route. Was there any other route? Reports have been submitted by the tramways manager, Mr. C. F. Woolsey, and the borough treasurer, Mr. A. L. Costain, and Mr. Woolsey asks if the council wish work to proceed on the scissor crossover at Derby Castle. Revised track layout at Derby Castle to cost £4,000, rather a lot of money in 1947, repairs to the stable roof, £750, and renewal of points on the permanent way of £1,000. Read of only £226 profit on the horse trams. On the promenade, the total mileage for the 1946 season was 180,371. The buses, 94,603. The horse trams, 85,768. Revenue was buses, £17,000, or £17,265 to be exact. The horse trams, £16,737. Fairly similar. Passengers being carried, wait for this, buses, 1,757,629, and on the horse trams carried during 1946, according to the Mona's Herald at least, 1,700,166 passengers on the horse trams in a year. I'd love to know what it was last year. And the total surplus was £9,076, of which £8,850 was for the buses and £226 for the horse trams. From these figures, it's deduced, the article goes on, that had the service on the promenade been run by horse trams only, the profit would have been £2,577. If run by the buses only, £16,850. On the score of popularity with passengers, there was little to choose, the margin being slightly in favour of the horse trams, 20 against 18.6 passengers per mile. And we also read of the operation costs per mile, given as buses 21.3 pence, horse trams 46.2 pence, and the operation costs per passenger, buses 1.6 pence, horse trams 2.3 pence. Be interesting to know how that compares now with the cost of fuel. We go to Friday, November the 14th of 1947, so still in the same year, later that year, in the Isle of Man Examiner. And in quite a long piece, so we won't read all of it, the horse trams gallop home. Council vote shows them to be 21-1 winner. Alderman J.C. Farger votes against his own resolution. A new mayor rides a stormy sea. It's always been a bit of a farce, it seems. The drama of the Douglas Promenade horse trams ended in comedy and victory for the horse trams and public opinion. The fourth and last act of this municipal performance was the most exciting and hilarious of all. The curtain rose on the final scene in the town hall on Monday afternoon to reveal the newly elected, enrobed mayor, Councillor F.M. Corkle, preparing for battle by outlining procedure. First, he said, Alderman J.C. Farger would move his twice-deferred resolution that the horse tram service be terminated as soon as possible. Someone would second it, and then members could hear what Mr. Donald Ashton, Councillor for the Douglas Boarding and Department Association, had to say in support of the memorial which had been presented. Alderman Farger duly moved his resolution and sat down. Councillor Tom Cowell seconded. Then the fun began. Immediately, Councillor Tom Ratcliffe was on his feet to move that the question be put to the vote. Alderman J.H. Skillicorn was quick to second him. Much ado, we read. Members sprang from their places in rapid succession. Councillor A.J. Tier suggested it would be very interesting to know what comparative figures the Tramways Committee possessed concerning the working of the trams. Alderman Hudson fought a snap vote, declaring that the council would be made a laughingstock. He wanted the Tramways Committee to express opinion on the value of the horse trams and produce the 1947 figures. He could not see why council wanted to mislead. He could not see why they wanted to mislead the council. Tramway's chairman for the last 12 months, Councillor R.F. Quayle, Alderman Farger and Councillor Tom Radcliffe, rose to speak simultaneously. For a moment, there was confusion. To the rescue came the town clerk, who reminded them that the motion was that the question to be put to the vote. If it went against the trams, then those people represented by Mr. Donald Ashton would be deprived of being heard, and the standing orders provided Mr. Ashton should be heard, as his memorial was in order. Alderman Farger was on his feet again. Did this mean he could say nothing? He'd been asked to move his resolution, he thought, formally, and had done so. The mayor took the opportunity and called on him to speak. Alderman Skillicorn thrust a copy of standing orders before the mayor, arguing that the vote should be taken, but Alderman Farger was allowed to continue. He made a long speech. For some, it was too long. One member purposefully lifted the lid of his desk and banged it to indicate he'd heard enough, but the alderman was unperturbed and flung all the familiar arguments against retention of the trams at the council. Continually he stressed that his sole object was to obtain an expression of policy from the council, and to provoke it, he had some hard things to say about the trams. They were obsolete. The tramway's property was dilapidated. The financial position would get no better. The policy should be cheaper fares or better facilities all round. He complained there was too much strain on horses asked to pull 5.5 tons and stop and restart 30 times an hour. He argued that there were only 20 working months out of the life of a horse, and the animals were left to the mercy of the elements during the winter. The bulk of the trams were lacking in winter protection, and with the stables were no credit to a first-class visiting resort. He recalled that when roller bearings were fitted to the trams, the carrying capacity was increased from 32 to 40, so that the horses were not helped at all. He thought they were dangerous owing to limited braking power. He disliked stables on the front door of Douglas. He doubted whether anyone came to Douglas just because the horse trams were here. And he ended by advocating the introduction of a more flexible service with vehicles which could be used on other routes. Not a fan, it seems. As he sat down, Councillor R.F. Quayle rose to join the issue and declared the whole question should be referred for investigation to the Tramways Committee in view of certain things which had been said. Councillor Tom Cowell, as a seconder to the Alderman's motion, approved abolition on the grounds of progress. And finally, Councillor S.A. Quirk asked the council not to take Alderman Farger too seriously. Alderman Walter Crane, having spent an hour listening, cried that the whole discussion had been a waste of time. Tramway's chairman, Councillor Quayle, flung the last word in with a suggestion that the matter be adjourned again and then again, because every time there was a debate on the subject, Douglas received first-class newspaper publicity. Alderman Farger's reply was short. I'm not concerned which way it goes. I want a majority well worth looking at so the committee can know the council's policy. On a division being called for or against the alderman's motion, the against came thick and fast. Amid them, Councillor Cowell gave the expected four. But when Alderman Farger's name was called and he said against, a wave of laughter swept around the chamber. The horse trams had won 21 votes to one. Few mayors, it says, have had such a bumpy ride on their first day in office as Councillor Frank Corkill. And there's a brief piece which I rather like, saying, horse tram drama, a damp squib in four acts. Act 1, January the 29th, Tramways Committee ask for expression of opinion from the council. 10 members speak, 5 for abolition, 5 against. Act 2, February the 13th, 1947, Alderman Farger proposes trams be abolished as soon as possible, voting 13-5 in favour of debate 6 months later. Act 3, August the 13th, Alderman Farger's motion again presented, agreed to adjourn until November meeting. And Act 4, November the 10th, Alderman Farger's motion defeated 21-1, the proposer voting against himself. It seems the horse trams and political shenanigans, shall we say, is absolutely nothing new. If we just look at a few other pieces in the Mona's Herald, Tuesday, January the 20th, 1948, horse trams, handsome profit, nearly £4,000 last season. This is only the following year, with fewer horses. The Corporation Horse Tram Service on the Douglas Prom operated 22 trams and 68 horses last summer, making a profit of nearly £4,000. How many horses are there now? Six? Four? 12? I don't know. This was disclosed by the chairman of the Tramways Committee, Councillor T.C. Cowan, at the monthly meeting of the Town Council on Wednesday. The matter was raised by Councillor A.J. Tier, who wanted to know the substance of a report laid before the Tramways Committee by the Tramways manager. He wanted figures and asked whether the figures they had for the 46 season bore any resemblance to the truth, and what was the result of last summer's running of the horse trams. He recalled that last year there'd been an attempt to stop the running of the trams, as we have heard. Councillor Cowan said the profit made by the horse trams in 1946 was £226. In 1947, £3,917. He was happy to say he thought they would be able to at least maintain that profit in future years. Well, I don't know whether they still make money, but they're still there, one way or another. In the Mona's Herald, Tuesday, January the 8th, 1952, redundant horse trams to go, we read. 31 retained for service. 7 redundant horse trams are to go. 31 are to be retained for service by the Tramways Committee of the Douglas Town Council. The decision will come up for confirmation at the monthly meeting of the Douglas Town Council tomorrow, when the following minutes of the Tramways Committee will be submitted. And in 1960, in the Examiner, we read, it's October the 27th, this Thursday, if you're interested. Rising costs threat to horse trams. The services reduced. A statement that the number of horse trams plying on the promenade during the summer would have to be reduced when the new terminal building was put up was made by Mr. W.B. Kinnean, MHK, at an election meeting in Derby Road on Tuesday night. But he would never support doing away with the horse trams altogether, added Mr. Kinnean. During question time, Mr. Kinnean was asked if he was in favour of keeping the horse trams going instead of cutting the number of them down to try and replace them with more buses. This is 1960, so a mere, 60-odd years ago. I personally would not like to see the horse trams going, he said, but I agree that we have reduced the number of cars from 46 to 27. 46 cars? They're almost back to back. They had 75 horses in service this summer, but he asked, is it a good thing to keep all the horse trams going when they cost twice as much to run as a double-decker bus? Whichever way we look at it, the horse trams have been in the news for generations, and usually in some sort of farcical sense as to whether it was best to keep them or reduce them or get rid of them altogether. And whatever was going to happen, nothing happened quickly. Suffice to say, 60 years on, we're still debating it at a pace which you would think would make a snail look like a sprint champion. We shall see what happens, no doubt. Suffice to say, horse trams, old news. Until next time, cheerio. You're gonna be yesterday's news.